I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. I am so happy to be here with you today. I can't even tell you how exciting it is. I feel like I've been on vacation for a year. You know, it's just so many things to pick to talk about. I think I'm just going to ease into this week and ease into some things. You know, I think we want to get back to some real basics. We spend a lot of time talking about current events and teaching the liberty aspects and the anti-liberty aspects of what's going on. And I want to spend a little bit of time today discussing some basics about liberty. I think that if we're going to start off this new year, we need to start off on the right foot. You know, Vince Lombardi, very, very famous football coach, started every first practice with the same speech. Gentlemen, this is a football. That is the end post. The objective, when you get on the field, is to put this football across that goal line, or to prevent the other team from doing the same thing. Now, he was not teaching kindergartners. He was not teaching 12-year-olds. These are grown men who likely played football their entire life. So why did Vince Lombardi start off with a speech, gentlemen, this is a football? Not because the men did not know that that was a football. But he was emphasizing that this is the basics. And if you don't have a firm handle on the basics, then everything else is just simply pointless. If you don't have a firm handle on what we're supposed to be doing, why we're doing what we're doing, the stand that we're having to take, then something's going to come along and you're going to be confused and you're going to think, wow, that's really tinfoil hat. Let me read to you a comment that somebody sent me on Facebook. And I'm amazed by this comment, and I get them every once in a while, but this one, I'm not going to say her name just to, protect her and not embarrass her on purpose. I just want you to know. She says, Chris Ann, I saw you speak on Agenda 21 during Barry's first campaign. So this is, you know, way back there. And I liked what I heard. That is why I'm here on your page. I don't know exactly what's happened to you since, but you're beginning to sound completely unhinged. That is why I am leaving. Not everything is a conspiracy, and not all laws are intended to trample our rights. May God watch over you, Chris Ann. You know, I find that rather amusing, the conspiracy thing. Not all laws are meant to trample our rights. Well, I certainly don't cover all laws. And when I do talk about things on Facebook or on my website, I give clear legal analysis. It's not just me ranting and raving like so many of the talking heads do, you know, calling people idiots and shutting people down and blocking people. I have rarely blocked a person from my Facebook page. I'm sure there are other people who can't say the same thing. But you see, I present these legislative tools in a clear, concise manner, with legal analysis, with constitutional analysis, based on reason and law. So to accuse me of engaging in some kind of grand conspiracy theory is just an indication to me that this woman does not have an understanding of the basics. She was never given the Vince Lombardi, "This is a football" speech. And so I want to make sure that our Liberty First Brigade starts off this year with a really firm foundation on the basics. And I think we're going to do a series this week. You know, I'm just moved at the moment to start a series this week, a series on the basics of liberty. You know, I did a resolution this year, a liberty resolution. You can find it on my website. My website is chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. And so what I've done is not just simply a New Year's resolution, but a liberty resolution based on the basics. Here it goes. Let us endeavor to always put liberty first in 2015. And as James Otis Jr. said, let consequences be as they may. You know, it's important to understand that there are some things more important than politics, some things more important than political parties, some things more important than just plain baseless opinion. Liberty. You know, my motto has always been liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite politician, which means sometimes you have to point out that your favorite guy just ain't right. I know it hurts. I know it's crazy. I get attacked for it. But you know what? If they're not correctable, then they shouldn't be electable. If we are going to be teachers of truth, then we must be students of wisdom. And wisdom says, there's not a perfect man that walks on this planet. And if your politician refuses to be corrected when he has taken the wrong position on liberty, then he's not fit for office. And I say that in a gender-neutral form, of course. I know that makes the LGBT people upset. You know, but they should like gender-neutral forms, shouldn't they? Interesting. Another source of hypocrisy. So let's continue. Let us endeavor to always put liberty first in 2015, and as James Otis Jr. said, let consequences be as they may. You must choose liberty even when it hurts. Let us be dedicated teachers of truth and students of wisdom. Let us honor those who sacrificed all so we could be free by picking up their fight for liberty. Liberty is a principle. Liberty is a gift given to us by God. It's an inalienable right. It's something the government didn't grant us and cannot take away. But we can lose liberty voluntarily through apathy, through negligence. These are the ways that our rights are lifted out of our hands. Not because they're stolen, but because we allow them to go away. And you see, there are people who sacrificed everything so that we could have life, liberty, property, and the right to defend those things. And we are dishonoring their sacrifice, making their sacrifices worthless because we've become so ignorant we don't understand the importance of what they've done. We don't understand the importance of what it is to keep. You know, liberty has a debt that has to be paid too. The price of liberty must be paid on a regular basis. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. John Philpott Curran said in 1790, he said, "It is the common fate of the indolent to see their liberty stolen by the active. The condition upon which God grants liberty to man is eternal vigilance. And if that condition be broken, servitude is his punishment and the immediate indication of his guilt. Liberty is always maintained at a price. And when it goes unpaid, the debt accrues." We think that $18 trillion is a big debt to pay. wait until the debt of liberty must be paid. It's not a matter of will it be paid. It's a matter of who and when. Who will pay? When? Us? Now? Will we say, as Thomas Paine said, if there be trouble, let it be in my day? Or will we choose peace and comfort and force our children to pay when the debt requires more than court costs or a loss of personal comfort? I mean, that's what we're really facing today, the choice. What is more important? Our comfort? Our convenience? Or our children's liberty? I hope that you will go on my website and see this Liberty First resolution, this Liberty resolution. I hope you will share it. I hope we'll post it. I hope we'll continue to post it throughout the year. Let us promise to never again vote the lesser of two evils and be men and women of principle and moral fortitude. When you choose the lesser of two evils, you classify yourself. You don't make the hard choice of which evil to choose. You classify yourself as someone who can rationalize the choice of evil. You know, we're very likely going to see that happen in 2016, that two evils choice up there. I mean, look at, we've got Jeb Bush running, Mike Huckabee running, Mitt Romney's going to run. We know Chris Christie's going to run. We're just rehashing the same old rhinos over and over again. And these are the people that the GOP are going to back. Now, you may get a wild card like Rand Paul or, Ted Cruz is not going to run. He's not going to run. Ted knows the Constitution, knows he cannot run for office, or he cannot run for president. He's not a natural-born citizen. He has held dual citizenship that disqualifies you under the Constitution to run for president. And so Marco Rubio is probably going to throw his hat in the ring as well. So you might get a wild card like Rand Paul, but the GOP will never let Rand Paul win. He will be the common target that they will destroy so they can lift up somebody like Jeb Bush. So what are you going to do? Lesser of two evils?
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. We are going over the Liberty Resolution. Again, you can find that Liberty Resolution on my website, chrisannhall.com, chrisannhall.com. And I want us to start off this year promising to put liberty first. Let us deny the ignorant and the corrupt the power to destroy our Constitution and our liberty. Tell me something. You have to agree that there are ignorant people in Washington, D.C. destroying our Constitution. You also must admit that there are corrupt people in Washington, D.C. intentionally destroying our Constitution and consequently our liberty. At the end of the day, what does it matter? Whether they're ignorant or corrupt, the destruction is still the same, and we've got to stop making excuses. Would you make excuses for a brain surgeon who was not properly trained that killed people? Would you do that? Oh, well, you know, we hired him to do the brain surgery, but, you know, we realize now, after we hired him, he's not actually technically qualified to do the job. But, hey, we hired him for it, so let's let him give it a whirl. Okay, so now he's killed somebody. Well, you know, he just needs proper training. We need to make sure that we can talk to him and make sure he sees the error of his ways so that he doesn't kill another person. But we'll let him keep in, you know, in doing these surgeries. Of course not. That's ridiculous. That's insane. But we allow our politicians to do that. To our liberty and to the liberty that belongs to our children. Here we go. It's going to get tough here. This is a tough liberty resolution. Let us refuse to submit to illegal authority and make use of our right to resist all unlawful orders and laws regardless of their source. Do you catch that? You must simply stand up and refuse to allow the EPA to have jurisdiction over you. The FDA, the Department of Education, the Department of Interior, the Bureau of Land Management, the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI. You have to refuse these people their authority. Refuse to submit to this authority. Because if you submit, then you allow. Part of our refusal to submit to illegal authority is going to be the resolution to have Congress refuse to fund them. I mean, why wouldn't we have a Congress willing to do that now? We're going to have a GOP House and a GOP Senate. These are our small government constitutional party people, right? That's what they told us in 2012. They're the party of the Constitution. And a party of the Constitution would understand that there is no federal authority for these agencies. And a limited government combined with a constitutional party would understand that the solution to unconstitutional agencies is to defund them immediately. You know, the House, when we've had a government, a GOP a House for a very long time. They could have defunded it all by themselves. That's what Article 1, Section 7 says. But now we have the Senate, so there should be no excuses. We should have no Department of Education. Oh, but the reports say they're ready to rewrite No Child Left Behind. We're going to get rid of Common Core, but we're going to rewrite No Child Left Behind. Are you stinking kidding me? That is not the action of a constitutionally minded limited government. That is not. And because the GOP is not going to do what they're supposed to do, according to their oath, according to the Constitution, according to being small government-minded, then the people must refuse to submit. Must refuse. It is our right to resist. Let us never allow the cry of necessity to supersede our attachment to liberty. But we have to have this Department of Education money or our schools will go bankrupt. We need the Department of Homeland Security to keep us safe. We need the Department of Interior to manage our land. We need the EPA to conserve our environment. No, we stinking don't. We need the federal government out of our lives. Period.
My mama always said I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So are you going to do it? You going to put liberty first? I should revamp the Liberty Resolution and give you an opportunity to sign this electronically, to promise to do this. Let us never allow the cry of necessity to supersede our attachment to liberty. Let us love our posterity more than our current comfort and convenience. And may God bless our efforts to preserve God's gifts for future generations. That means making some really tough choices. Now, the House is going to be making some really tough choices here tomorrow, right? We have an election for Speaker of the House. I'm rather amused by the banter that's going on over Boehner. I think this is going to be really, really good. We're going to get a good litmus about where our GOP really, really is. Because it's hard to travel across this country and teach the way I do and find someone who actually likes John Boehner. I am absolutely convinced, and maybe this is where my tinfoil hat comes in, I am absolutely convinced that John Boehner engaged in voter fraud to win. Because I have spoken in all over Ohio. I have spoken to Republican groups in Ohio. Executive committees, women's federated, Republican federated women, you know, nobody likes John Boehner. And so I can't figure out how he actually got elected in Ohio, because, you know, all the liberals hate John Boehner and all the Republicans say they hate John Boehner. And, you know, the Tea Party people can't stand John Boehner. So I'm really convinced that John Boehner won through voter fraud, which tells me something very important. This Speaker of the House election is going to be very interesting. The establishment clearly loves John Boehner because he loves Barack Obama, because he loves big government, because he loves more power and less liberty. The candidates who have presented themselves, offer a bit of a challenge. Louie Gohmert. Now, of the candidates that I've seen, Louie Gohmert would probably be the one that I would, you know, cast my vote for. He has made some mistakes. He has not always been liberty-minded. But I have seen Louie Gohmert correct his course. I have seen Louie Gohmert err on the side of liberty more often than anybody else. And even my own representative, Ted Yoho, has thrown his hat in the ring. I will never vote for him again to represent me. So I would never vote for him to be Speaker of the House. He has clearly shown through his past conduct that he is confused about liberty, that he is confused about which side to err upon. And he has erred on the side of the establishment more than on liberty. I have told him to his face, when in doubt, vote with Justin Amash. But I find it very curious that Justin hasn't put his hat in the ring. I think I know why. Because Justin is clearly the most qualified. And he understands that they would destroy him. They would never let him. Even the conservatives would never allow Justin. And I think Justin is a good, humble, godly man. He would never present himself. He might accept a nomination, but I don't think he would ever present himself, which is another indication of his character. So this Speaker of the House thing is going to be a very interesting thing. I think they should make it more interesting. I think they should do the Speaker of the House on the House floor. The competition should be UFC, MMA. In this corner, representing the Republican establishment, we have the candidate known as the big squishy marshmallow man, Obama lover, big government builder, cry baby Boehner. In this corner on the House floor for Speaker of the House, we have Louie Gohmert representing liberty and the Constitution. And just let him duke it out. No holds barred. Chain the whole thing in so Boehner can't run away. Don't let him cry his way out. And let's see who walks away. Because, I mean, they're going to do it on the inside anyway. They're going to do it with funding and special interests and blackmail and whatever. So why not just let them duke it out like men? It's about time we see some real men on the House floor. How about that? I'll just make the feminists mad there too, right? Hey, I think this is going to be very telling. Can I make a prediction for you? Before the election, I said, look, I hope that we get a GOP-controlled Senate, because that's what they want. But I'll guarantee you, when you get the GOP Senate, you're not going to get what you think you're going to get. You're not going to get the end to amnesty. You're not going to get the end to Obamacare. You're not going to get the end of anything Obama. You're not going to get control of his executive orders. What you're going to get is a speech from the Senate and saying, oh, we would really, really like to do something. I mean, we have the House and we have the Senate, but we really can't do anything until the presidential election 2016. You have to give us the presidency as well. And that's exactly what's happened. Exactly. The House and the Senate could do a lot. The House and the Senate could impeach. The House and the Senate could defund executive orders and any executive agency that they chose. The president doesn't sign off on the spending. He doesn't have to, not by Constitution anyway. And so there are no more excuses, but they have plenty. So I think this GOP House thing is going to be very, very telling. Number one, if Boehner wins again, well, guess what? We're going to figure out just how lost the House really is. We're going to figure that out if Boehner wins. And then perhaps people will stop becoming fascinated and controlled by federal politics and start focusing their efforts locally. For New Year's, I hope that we can make this resolution to stop being enticed by federal drama and start focusing all our efforts on local elections. I think we should ignore the federal elections for 6 solid years. Now, I know that's going to be difficult because we have a presidential election coming up, and it's just like real TV. I mean, it's awesome. It's watching the crowning of the monarchy. And so what we need to do, though, is ignore the federal government for 6 years and put all our money and all our efforts locally. County commission, city council, school board, sheriff, and then focus on states. Get constitutional from the inside out. And then you won't care what the federal government's doing, because a constitutionally minded society understands the limitation of the federal government and just how powerless they are. You know, they might have SWAT teams, but they will never outarm the people. If we were to come together, you know, if Bundy Ranch showed us one thing, it showed us that. We were outarmed at Bundy Ranch, both physically and potentially. But you see, the federal government can't be viewed in that light publicly. We are the land of liberty. We cannot be seen as a place that takes over the people's property by military force, even if that military force comes from non-military personnel. And so we have to understand the power that we have. Will Louis Gohmert be selected as Speaker of the House? If he does, then that will be another test, won't it? To see just how constitutionally minded, just how resolved Louis Gohmert is to making things happen. Just how much support the Constitution has in the House. Because Louis Gohmert has voted not with Justin Amash. He's not quite an Amash-level conservative. But he's voted that way a lot. So why couldn't Louis Gohmert bring impeachment to the House floor? Why couldn't Louis Gohmert bring the end to funding of all these executive agencies? Why couldn't Louis Gohmert defund Obamacare? There are lots of things that the Speaker of the House can do because he has unconstitutional authority. Will he use that constitutionally? I know that sounds strange, but that's the system that we're working in. So we need to try to figure out where we are. These are tests. And we have got to be more focused on learning than simply drama. We should have learned from the last election that the GOP is sold out to big government. We're not going to repeal Obamacare. We're going to revise it. We're not going to repeal Department of Education control over the schools. We're just going to revise it. Well, you can't speak bad about No Child Left Behind. After all, George Bush gave us No Child Left Behind. I'm sorry. It's still not constitutional. So what are we going to do? We've got to get the defunding of these congressional acts that fund and militarize our local police, that allow the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI to deprive us of our liberty in the name of national security. You know, I ran across a very interesting article about, what exactly are the most important problems facing the United States? What were the most important problems facing the United States in 2014? It's a Gallup poll, actually, that was compiled over a 12-month survey. Do you know what was number one? The number one problem facing the United States in 2014? Government, Congress, and politicians. I wonder if that's ever happened before, that our government was perceived to being the biggest problem facing the country in 2014. National security, bottom of the list.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So this Gallup poll is very, very interesting. Compilation of 12 monthly surveys over 2014. What were the most important problems facing the United States? Number one, government, Congress, and politicians. I want you to just wrap your brain around that for just a second. The American people overwhelmingly over the entire year declared that our government, Congress, and politicians were the biggest problem that we faced in 2014. And yet, that's where we place our hope. That's where we place all our hope into fixing this. Are you kidding me? I mean, seriously. We should call that a clue. National security, the bottom, the very bottom national security. You know, perhaps, maybe, we should understand from that perspective. Trading liberty for temporary security means you have neither. We've been brainwashed into believing things that simply are not true. And we need to take this to heart. Do you know that there is no such thing as crime prevention? You cannot prevent crimes without infringing upon liberty. There are only two things that will stop people from doing bad things: morality and force. Government can't make you moral, but it's more than happy to apply as much force as you're willing to permit. Infringement upon liberty never improves society. It just makes submissive subjects. And so here we are in a situation where we have to understand that the infringement of liberty not only happens federally, but it happens locally as well. So we have to, again, make these choices Do you choose liberty or do you choose security? Well, apparently the people of this country over 12 solid months have declared that liberty is more important than security. The government is our biggest problem and national security is not. Why don't we take advantage of this knowledge? Isn't that what statistics are for? To take advantage of understanding that, hey, this is where the trend of the people, this is where we should go. That's how politics works, right? Then how do we build on this? Well, let's build on the fact that government is our problem and not the solution. I want to teach you about something. I think we'll take this up tomorrow in order to reestablish a liberty-minded perspective about liberty, security, crime prevention. Something we're going to talk about tomorrow. The history of a driver's license. I started a conversation on Facebook that has turned out to be very interesting. My own little poll, I suppose. Driver's licenses. Do you know how many people believe that driver's licenses are meant to keep us safe on the road? Do you know the history of a driver's license? Do you know how long people were driving without driver's licenses? Do you know the purpose of a driver's license? Well, our community seemed to believe that we need driver's licenses to keep safe, smart drivers on the road and unsafe, stupid drivers off the road. But that's not so. I mean, if that were so, wouldn't that mean you would be tested periodically, even every year, to maintain your driver's license? Maybe you would have to take continuing educational driver's courses in order to maintain your driver's license. No. You do not. You are tested once when you are probably at the most immature and irresponsible point in your life. You are tested on your ability to drive, and then you're never tested again. So what is the real reason we have a driver's license? Well, I suppose you'll have to come back tomorrow to learn more about liberty and how security never trumps God's gifts. God bless. We came to light.